Hold it down, hold it down. All right. This morning, we're gonna be speaking of the topic, I entitled it, Doctrines of Devils. There are doctrines of devils out there, and we're going to look at one in particular here this morning. You should be well versed in it, and it won't come as any surprise. At least I'd hope not. Let's start by looking at Acts chapter 20. Acts chapter 20. And there was a little bit of a bawling convention here with the Ephesian elders. And it wasn't just a bunch of emotion. There were some tears shed, and it was for a specific reason. Notice Paul meets with the elders here at Ephesus. There's elders here at this church. Well, there was elders at Ephesus. And notice verse 20. Let's jump down to verse 27. Paul said in Acts chapter 20, verse 27, he says, "For I have not shunned to declare unto you, you elders, all the counsel of God, all the word of God. Take heed, therefore, unto yourselves." Paul's giving them a little bit of a warning here. "And to all the flock." Well, what do they need to pay attention to? "Over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things, to draw away disciples after them. Therefore watch and remember that by the space of 3 years I cease not to warn everyone night and day with tears." Now, this obviously upset Paul, and he spent 3 years warning them that in the grace there were going to be men arise, and they were going to be what? Speaking perverse things. See, they not only were going to believe false doctrine, but they were going to be presenting it. They were going to be speaking it. And Paul was pretty upset about that. And now, notice let's jump down to verse 36. "And when he had thus spoken, he kneeled down and prayed with them all, and they all wept sore." Wow. "And fell upon Paul's neck and kissed him." Why? Why all this emotion with the tears? Was it just a bunch of mumble-jumble? No. Verse 38 tells us, "Sorrowing most of all for the words which he spake, and that they should see his face no more, and they accompanied him into the ship." They were troubled by the fact that at some point in time, false doctrine was going to creep into the church. Even grace believers were going to be teaching false doctrine. Now, could this happen today? Is it possible that today, grace believers could be speaking, preaching, promoting false doctrine, or what I call the doctrine of devils? Well, you know what? Satan knows God's Word to a point. The only trouble is there are things in God's Word that God never said. Matter of fact, just the opposite. You find that off right away. Go back to Genesis chapter 3. Satan knows a little bit about God's Word, but then Satan will turn around and just tell someone the exact opposite of what God said, doesn't he? Well, sure he does. Notice Genesis chapter 3, verse 1. "Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made, and he said unto the woman." He's speaking. He's promoting his false doctrine. He's just not going to keep it to himself. He's going to promote it. What's he say to the woman? "Yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden?" The woman said unto the serpent, "We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, Ye shall not eat of it, neither shall you touch it, lest ye die. And verse 4 is my point. And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. Now, is that what God said? No, God told Adam, in the day ye eat, you shall surely die. And Satan takes his false doctrine and just 360 degrees, you're not going to die. And I find that very interesting. So, with that being said, it's vital that we know what God said and what He didn't say, nor He never said. Yet today, I said it, I'm going to say it again. Yet today, evil doctrines are being taught exactly 360 degrees of what God said. And you know what? That was certainly no surprise to your apostle, was it? Go to 1 Timothy 4. 1 Timothy chapter 4. This was no surprise. Paul knew it was coming, whether by revelation or what he knew it was coming. Go to 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall what? Depart from the faith. You can't depart from the faith unless you're in the faith. There were going to be grace believers who were going to depart from the faith. And of course they were going to keep this false doctrine to themselves, right? Nope. Giving heed what? To seducing spirits and what? Doctrines of devils. What's that next word in verse 2? Speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their conscience iron, having their conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry, and commanding to abstain from meats which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving of them which what? Believe and know the truth. Believe and know the truth. There must be something important about believing and knowing the truth. Now, we know, obviously, that someday things are going to reach a zenith. When the man of sin comes with signs and powers and lying wonders, and he finally sits in the temple showing himself that he is God. And the world's going to say, whoo, what a creature, because he's a religious creature. Paul said he's an angel of light, but Paul also said in Galatians, that even if an angel preaches another gospel to you, don't take it. Let him be accursed. Interesting. Now, yet as we meet today, right now, as we meet today, evil doctrines exist. Such as, now Dave, I know the word does not appear. The word Trinity, I know, does not appear in the King James Bible. But the principle of the triune God exists. There is an attack today on the Trinity. And there also is a false doctrine going around saying that there's no such thing as eternal hell. There's also a doctrine of devils going around saying there's no free will. You don't have a free will. Eddie, did you have a choice in being born? You didn't have a choice in being born. Did you have a choice in where you lived as a kid? No. There's no free will. Even there's a doctrine going around saying you can have more than one wife. I'm not making this stuff up. It's out there. Believe me, it's out there. And it's real. Now, we will target today the evil doctrine, or that word evil means wicked. And this is wicked stuff. It's wicked stuff. The doctrine we're going to tackle a little bit. I'm not going to dwell a lot on it. And that is Did you ever hear that doctrine? Hey, you don't have to worry. Relax. Everybody's going to be saved. Chill out. Don't worry about anything. Live your life. Don't worry about people. Oh, well, of course, the basic premise is a loving, caring God would not condemn a soul to eternal torment. God, a loving, caring God would never do that. He'd never do that. And the passages they like to use, we're not going to go through all of them, because I'm just not going to spend that much time doing that. It's not, in some ways, even worthy of doing it. But anyways, of course, would be 1 Timothy 2, Colossians 1, and 2 Corinthians 5. Let's go to 1 Timothy 2 first. 1 Timothy 2. Hey, we're right there, aren't we? Aren't we in Timothy? Oh, that worked out real nice, didn't it? 1 Timothy chapter 2, notice verse 1. Paul said, I exhort therefore that, first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, giving of thanks, be made for all men, for kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. I tell Cheryl that all the time. All I want to do is just live a quiet and peaceful life. Get me out there in the woods somewhere with wildlife, I'll just blend right in with my camo. How about it, Christopher? Yeah. We may lead a quiet and peaceful life. Wow, that's what I want to do. Now, verse 3. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God, our Savior, who will have all men to be saved. Boy, it sounds pretty good, don't it? We didn't finish verse 4, did we? And God's will, God's desire that all would be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. Paul's already talked about salvation, hasn't he? Go back to Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. Now, we're going to see this morning, just like with Eve and Adam, the issue is going to be what did God say? Or what didn't He say? But more specifically, what did God say? Well, God's already outlined for us this issue of salvation. And it's a process. And He just doesn't throw it out there and the whole world's saved. Not even close. Now, Ephesians chapter 1, notice verse 12. Paul said that we should be to the praise of His glory who what? First trusted in Christ. In whom ye also trusted after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance, until the redemption of the purchased possession, unto the praise of His glory. Now, salvation is redemption and deliverance. But what are you relying on? What are you having confidence in? You're having confidence in God's Word. You are trusting what God said. See, it all comes down to the book. Paul said, in whom ye trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth. You've got to hear some truth. And you've got to do something, but you've got to rely on it. It all comes down to the book. Now, if everyone is going to be saved, and that sounds nice, wouldn't that be nice if everybody in the universe would be saved? Even Hitler. That'd be great. That'd be great. But if God's just going to automatically save everyone, would you have to believe in the blood? You wouldn't have to believe in the blood. You wouldn't have to believe in the cross. You wouldn't have to believe in God's ultimate sacrifice. You wouldn't have to believe in anything. Just live your life and someday you're going to be in heaven. That all sounds great, don't it? Doesn't work that way. Now, the other passage you use is Colossians 1. We're going to close here this morning. I'll bet you didn't know this. Because until I looked it up at the internet, I didn't know it either. But it's fascinating. To me it is. I hope you find it fascinating. Now this is going to get kind of heavy here for a while. Paul says in Colossians chapter 1, boy, this is amazing. In Colossians chapter 1, verse 20, he said, and having made peace through the blood of His cross by Him to reconcile all things unto himself by him, I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. And the universalists will take that verse and say, see, even someday, oh, that old serpent's going to be saved. Because God is going to reconcile things in earth and things in heaven. He's going to take all those heavenly beings up there and he's just going to save them all. But the verse says, and having made peace through the blood of his Christ, through the blood of his cross. How do we have peace with God? How do we have peace with God? Go back to Romans 5. Back to Romans 5. And then, we have to hit on the number one passage. The number one passage they use. Bogus. It will not hold water. Now, Paul said, therefore being what? Justified by faith, we have peace with God. The only way you can have peace with God is to be justified, to be declared righteous by faith. Now, that's interesting. Go back to chapter 4. And Paul's going to use an Old Testament figure as an example of how it is you can be justified by faith. And he says in verse 1, he says, "What in Romans 4, 1, what shall we say then that Abraham our father as pertaining to the flesh hath found? For if Abraham were justified by works, he hath whereof to glory, but not before God. For what saith the Scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. Now to him that worketh is a reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. But to him that believeth not, but to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness." Abraham believed God. God must have said something. Because if you're going to believe, God has to say something. And what did God tell Abraham? Did Abraham have a gospel? Well, sure he did. We could go to two passages. One would probably work. Go back to Galatians. Abraham had a gospel. And it wasn't the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. It wasn't that. It couldn't have been that. He didn't know anything about that. Even the 12 kind of bucked up. But anyways, go to Galatians chapter 3. Notice verse 6. Paul says, even as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. How did he get his righteousness? He believed God. What did God say? Know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. And the Scripture foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preach before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, God said something, in thee shall all nations be blessed. And that's what God told him back in Genesis chapter 15, I think around verse 6. He told Abraham to look at the stars. That's the way, and see if you can count them. That's the way the nation of Israel is going to be. It's going to be a great nation. I'm going to promise you that. And Abraham believed God, and he got righteousness. He heard truth, and he got righteousness. Now, let's go to the verse that they used the most. Is anybody, by the way, going to object this morning to getting out early today? Well, there won't be any rotten tomatoes or anything, or okay. Thank you. Because I can still run pretty fast, and I can hide. So anyways, this is the one they love to use the most. Have you ever had this used on you? 2 Corinthians 5. And it is a wonderful verse if they understood it. And by the way, a lot of the universalists, they don't even believe the Bible anyways. And I'm only using three verses that they use, but they don't even believe the King James Bible. So it's all bogus. But anyways, I thought I'd bring this lesson forward. But anyways, 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Here it is. This is probably the number one passage. All's going to be saved, so just chill out and have a good time. Don't worry about anything. Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 19, he says, to wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto Himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them. Who would the them be? The world. And hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. For He hath made Him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. Now, obviously, reconciliation and salvation are two different things. To be reconciled means to be brought into a state of favor from a state of enmity. And doesn't God say in Romans chapter 11, verse 32, that He's concluded all in what? No, close. He's concluded all in unbelief that He might have what? That he might have mercy upon all. Isn't that what Romans 11 says? You can look it up if you want to. I know it does say that. Now, but you know what? You know what you can't have without mercy? There's one thing you can't have without mercy. Do you know what it is? It's this right here. Can anybody want to finish it? Come on, finish it. Did you know you can't have this without this? Did you know that? Did you know that? Go back to Psalms. Oh, this is worth going back to Psalms. Go back to Psalms. Psalms 85. Psalms 85. Is that the one I want? And you can't have righteousness without peace. You can't have peace without righteousness. You know that. They go together. Notice Psalms 85, verse 10. What does that verse say? Mercy and what? Are met together. Righteousness and peace have kissed each other. Wow. God's had mercy on all because of His truth. And His truth was that Christ was going to, let's go back to 2 Corinthians 5, please. Christ was going to what? What was He going to have imputed unto Him? What was Christ going to have counted unto Him? 2 Corinthians chapter 5 again. Verse 21 says, for He hath made Him to be sin for us who knew no sin. Christ's sin was imputed unto Him. Therefore, He could have mercy on the ungodly and unbelievers. It's all because of truth. It's all because of truth that He could have mercy. He's not imputing the world's trespasses unto them because He put it on Christ. Now, does that still mean that all will be saved? Don't think so. Don't think so. Let's go to Romans 5 again. Romans chapter 5, and I want to point out something. I'm sure you know it's true, but it's interesting. Hopefully, this is going to get really interesting here in the end. Hopefully. All right. I hope you find it interesting. But anyways, wow. Oh, this is good. Romans chapter 5, verse 6 says, for when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died. For who? He died for the ungodly. Not the righteous, the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. I'm sorry, but I don't care how good you are, I'm not dying for you. I got too many things I'd like to see here. I'd like to see Christopher kill a big deer.
It might happen too. It's shaping up that way, isn't it? But anyways, but God commendeth his love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if we, when we were enemies, were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received. I'm going to take it. We have now received the atonement. We have now received the atonement. Notice verse 17. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which, what? Receive the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as by the offense of one, judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so, the righteousness of one, the what? Free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. God wants to give everyone eternal life. And he wants to do it freely. But you have to receive it. And you have to believe God's word. What am I up to, huh, Eddie? Mark, do you believe I have an arrow ahead for you this morning? Yay or nay? Mark, I've just spoken. I've just spoken some truth. And the truth is, I have an arrowhead for Mark. He just heard what I said. Will you accept it? It's a free gift. Are you ready? There you go, baby. It's a pretty nice one. I think you'll like it. See how it works? That's a simple illustration, but that's how it works. Man's got to receive. He's not going to receive the gift without receiving it. Now, all will be saved, right? I'm going to tell you something. That's 360 degrees of what God said. So who are you going to believe? You going to believe God, or are you going to believe these bobos? Go to Matthew chapter 7. Interesting here in Matthew 7. Now, you're probably like me. You're going to believe the word of God. I'm just simply going to trust what it says. Notice what our Lord said in Matthew chapter 7, verse 21. Wow! He said, not everyone. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many. Many. Is many? I'm just going to write it up here because I feel like writing now. Is many this? Or is it a lot? Is many this or this? It's not rocket science. Many is a lot. Our Lord said, many. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils and in thy name done many wonderful works. It's the religious crowd saying, look what we've done. Many. What's going to be his response? Verse 23. And then I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Wow. When God or the Lord says, I never knew you, you're in trouble. You're in trouble. Matter of fact, he says, depart from me, ye that work iniquity. You're not working righteousness. You're not following my word. You're just working iniquity. Wow. Now, never knew that.
is what those... No. Go to 2 Timothy 1. Make 2 Timothy 2. 2 Timothy 2. Is that what I want? Please. So chapter 2, verse 18. Paul says, never looking having this deal, but name of the name of Christ from a neck. Who is people with? Whether it's a nation of Israel, who you are, because you're part. Hey, Lord, all these... I never knew. Well, let's turn to chapter 5. We're going to learn very interesting facts here. Okay. 2 Timothy 5. Well, why are you listening? What a... Oh. 2:15. Are unto God for Christ. And them that... Oh, wait a minute. That's interesting. That's two groups of people. And to the one unto we are God as, which God has ever got up in the old... And three of them. Who knows? No. Anything he answered Jesus Christ. Faithfulness to our faith is in. But according to my instant on the internet, you know, if I want to, I'll just follow it along. And it really well. Two, this is some question. Does anybody here want to guess what the two worst ways there are to die? Can you give me two? What are two of the worst ways to die? Who said that? Dan Fire is good. Little and it might be up first piece. Sweet. I know it's here. First Peter so has the might, but I reach spirit sent a long way back. Noah, Ark, where all they are. Few souls are water but water.
Say that he doesn't.
That was water.
What?
All can it go? There's second verse, last of the game. And false coming. Father's tenure. Busy. The God that old. Out of the web of being.
Were girls.
Of God, verse, but now work on day of judgment. You know, one for couple things, but that the not part of that. You're in Christ. Now, go to 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. Wow. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 7. And to you who are troubled, rest with us when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming. It's going to get hot. Taking vengeance on them that what? Know not God. Well, wait a minute. What happened to our big party? I thought everybody was going to be saying that know not God. Oh, where am I at here? Thanks, Mom. And what? Obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. They're not believing God's word. Who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. Water and fire. Water was used to judgment someday. Fire will be used. Woo! Going to get hot. Now, go back to Acts 20. No, let's stay in. I'm sorry, I almost messed up. Stay here and just go to chapter 3. Just go to chapter 3. Paul said in verse 1, he said, finally, brethren, pray for us that the word, truth, that the word may have free course and be glorified, even as it is with you, that we may be delivered from unreasonable and what? Wicked. Wicked. That's the same word as evil. There's wicked men out there. For all men have not faith. Paul says, for all men have not faith. And we know in Hebrews... the writer of Hebrews says, without faith, it's impossible to please God. Paul says, for all men have not faith. Paul said, therefore, being justified by God, by faith, we have peace with God. It takes faith. Now, where are we at here?
Let's go back to we're almost done. Let's close now. I told you to be a little shorter. Let's go back to Acts 20. And you say to yourself, how is it that a grace believer, how is it a grace believer who has been brought up and taught grace, how is it that they could go off into these doctrines of devils? How can it be? How can it be? Well, Paul said way, way, way back in Acts chapter 20, verse 30, he said, also of your own selves men shall arise, speaking perverse things. Not only are they caught up in a bad doctrine, but they're proclaiming it. And one of the reasons they're proclaiming it, Paul says, to finish the verse there, to draw away disciples after them. They want people to follow them. They don't want to follow Paul. I want you to follow these doctrines of devils. There's no free will. There is no hell. There is no eternal torment. And by the way, if you're not happy with all that, guess what? You can have more than one wife. Now, I'm going to get in trouble for saying this, but why would anybody want to have more than one wife? Isn't one sufficient? Dear Lord, yes. All right. Dear Lord, yes. One is sufficient. It's all you need. Now, let's close in a word of prayer. Father, we thank you for the word. We thank you that we can rely on what you said and what you didn't say. Father, you never said that all men, and even including Satan, were going to be saved. Because, Father, we know you talk about the second death, which is the lake of fire. Now, Father, we believe that's real because that is what your word says. And, Father, we also understand on the flip side of this that it is our responsibility. It falls on us. We are ambassadors. We have the minister of reconciliation. It falls on us to question and make sure that our loved ones are a part of salvation, have righteousness, and will be there to enjoy the heavenly places with us someday. Father, what a responsibility. Thank you for all these things. In Jesus' name, amen.